Open your Bibles, if you would, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The name of the message is Ointments of Grace. Ointments of Grace. We'll read Song of Solomon 1 to 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We shall be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked down upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They kept me, the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Last week we looked at verse 2 of this wonderful song, and we see that it's a song, Song of Solomon 1:1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. This is a song that's far superior to any other song. It's the song of our Lord Jesus Christ and about His bride. And tonight we'll be in verse 3, but verses 2 to 7 is the bride's response of singing praises to her bridegroom. And last week we looked at verse 2, which is the first verse in the section of which the bride confesses her love for the bridegroom, which pictures the church confessing her love for Christ, for Christ. And we do that, don't we? We confess our love for Christ to others. We confess our love for Him and what He's done for us. And He is the object of our love. He's the object of our love. Look at verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And last week we looked at how the bride desires more and more communion with the bridegroom. More and more communion. Is it not so with you? Do you not desire, you who believe, do you not desire Christ more now than you ever have before? More about Jesus would I know. We want to know more and more about Christ. And we know the Holy Spirit's the only one who can teach us. But we have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, which He has placed in our souls, beloved. And He has loved His... We also looked at how He's loved the church, the elect, with an everlasting love. And therefore, Christ sweetly draws His bride with bands of love, with bands of love to Himself. And He does this by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching and the reading of His Word. And we also looked at the fact that Christ is first in this love. He's first in this love. We love Him because He first loved us. And this is revealed to the believer. And when it's revealed to us, it causes us to express our love for Him. Isn't it marvelous when you ponder the fact that Christ loved you when you didn't love Him? Does it not fill your heart with joy? And then we find out that this love that He has for His bride is an everlasting love. So Christ's love for us is not only prior to our love for Him, but it's far more superior. Far more superior. Because His love is a divine love. An everlasting love. Truly, it is amazing love. Amazing love. So let's consider verse 3 tonight in our study. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. So the first topic I'd like us to consider is this. The ointments of Christ expressed. The ointments of Christ expressed. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. The word savor here in our text is defined as, in the Hebrew, is odor. Odor. as if blowing. Savor, a scent, a smell. And we'll see that these good ointments are sweet to the believer. Sweet to the believer. And note here, the ointments here expressed by the church is something that she has knowledge of. Because of the savor of thy good ointments. She has knowledge of these ointments. She has knowledge of them. It has affected her heart, beloved. It's affected her heart. And note the effect it has on others. Therefore do the virgins love thee. We'll see later that that's the church still. We'll look at text to see that. And by ointments here, we are to understand the graces of the Spirit of God. The graces of the Spirit of God. That the oil of gladness with which Christ is our mediator is anointed above his fellows. And he alone is the God-man mediator. He alone. This was ointment, the graces of the Spirit. They were poured out upon measure, or they were poured out without measure upon Christ, upon him. And it's like precious ointment. Remember when they anointed Aaron's head? And what did it do? It ran down to the body. It ran down to the body, beloved. Ran down upon his beard and went down to the skirts of his garment. And let us consider this. The ointment being poured upon Christ the head descends to all his members. All his members. It is from him. It is from him that his people receive the anointing, which teaches us all things. It is from him which we receive the Holy Spirit of God. It is of him that the Holy Spirit sent to regenerate us. And who does he teach us of? Christ. Christ. So let us consider that this ointment being poured upon Christ the head descends to all his members. All his members. My. And let us remember that it was by divine direction of God that his people, actually, it was by divine direction of God that kings, priests, and prophets in the Old Testament were formally anointed by God's decree. And by God's direction, kings, priests, and prophets were formally anointed and thereby installed into several offices. Saul and David were anointed to be kings. They were anointed to be kings. Aaron and his sons were anointed to be priests. Elijah was anointed prophet in the room of Elijah. Now with that anointing, they were installed into their offices. So Christ, with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit of God, was thereby installed into his offices, which he bears for his people. He's anointed to be king, beloved. He's anointed to be king. He's set over God's holy hill. Who is the holy? The holy hill of Zion. Who's that? The church. The church. And whose direction is that by? By God's divine direction and decree. It's all of him. He's also anointed by the Spirit, to be consecrated a priest forevermore. A priest forevermore. To offer sacrifice for his people. And to make intercession for the transgressors, sinners, like you and me, chosen sinners, vessels of mercy from eternity. He's consecrated to be a priest for us. And it's all by God's direction. And it's all by God's decree. By the Holy Spirit, he's anointed to be prophet, to preach good tidings to the meek, all by God's divine decree and all by God's divine direction. Christ is glorious. He's glorious. He's the God-man. And he was anointed and installed into his office as mediator from eternity by God's divine decree and by God's divine direction. His human nature was anointed with the Holy Ghost at the time of its conception. In the virgin's womb. and more visibly at his baptism when the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And in his glorious ascension to the Father's right hand, he was declared then to be both Lord and Christ. All this, again, by God's divine direction, and all this, again, by God's divine decree. And it's by God's Holy Spirit that we who are the saints of God are made kings and priests. It's by the Holy Spirit. We're made kings and priests unto God. Because what? Grace reigns in our hearts, doesn't it? Grace reigns in our hearts. It didn't before. But we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, now grace reigns in our hearts. And we shall reign forever as priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All by God's direction and all by God's decree. Now let us think this, beloved. We who are born again of the Holy Spirit of God in our natural state, we are not fit vessels, are we? Right? Even though God knows that we're vessels of mercy, we're not fit vessels, are we? We're dead in trespasses and sins. We who are the elect of God are chosen vessels. Vessels of mercy, foreordained for glory. And then we who believe are born again by the Holy Spirit and made fit, qualified. Qualified for heaven. Fit for the Master's use. Fit for the Master's use. And prepared for glory hereafter. Prepared for glory. And we have the oil of gladness in our hearts, don't we? We have the oil of gladness in our hearts, in our souls. And we are ready to go when the bridegroom says, come. We're ready to run. We're ready to run. John Gill comments this: with this holy anointing, all the vessels of the tabernacle were anointed and made fit for use. The vessels in the tabernacle had to be anointed and then they were fit for use. God's people are born again by the Holy Spirit and fit for use. Fit for use, beloved. Look at our text again. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now, ointments are used for mollifying, which means to make soft or tender. And they're also used to heal wounds. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. Ointments are used for mollifying, which means to make soft or tender, and for healing wounds. Isaiah 1, 6, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now the ointments of grace in Christ are used to clean and heal the hearts of sinners, which are hard and stubborn and inflexible, being swelled with pride, being swelled with vanity, being swelled with conceit of themselves, of their own self-righteousness. But when the ointments of divine grace are applied, beloved, it softens the hard hearts of sinners. And every believer says, yes, it's so with me. That's what happened to me. It breaks the hardness and makes the hearts of the believer in Christ contrite. The believer is being humbled and they're contrite in spirit. Contrite in spirit. Let us never forget this. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Let us never forget that Christ is the great physician, isn't he? He's called in Scripture the great physician. What an operation he does on the hearts of his people. He's the great physician. And he's the great physician in the believer's life, just as the Good Samaritan who had compassion on the wounded man and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Beloved, the Good Samaritan is a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Christ. And we are the wounded men. He can't help himself. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Well, when Christ finds us, we're fully dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And he makes us alive. Look at this. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other way. A priest! Passed him right on by. Just left him sitting there. Half dead. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Over here, well, he's laying way over there. The certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I ask you who believe, has Christ not had compassion on you? Did he not see you? Just as that wounded man, he couldn't help himself. What great compassion Christ has had upon us, upon his people. And look at this. And went to him. The guy's laying down. He's wounded. He can't go to him, can he? But the Samaritan what? Goes to him. Comes to him. And went to him. Look at this. And bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, all the ointments of the grace of God in Christ. And remember our text in Isaiah, from the sole of thy foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And look what the Samaritan does. He pours oil and wine. All the ointments of Christ's grace. And set him on his own beast. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the moral, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Whatever it cost, I'll take care of it. Think of what Christ did for us on the cross. He paid it all. He took care of it all. What was the cost? The shedding of the precious blood of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all. What a sweet perfume are the ointments of Christ for the believer. They heal the brokenhearted. They heal those who have a humble and contrite spirit. Let us now consider that Christ's name is an ointment poured forth. It's an ointment poured forth. Let's go back to Song of Solomon 1:3. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. John Gill comments that the scripture here, thy name is as an ointment poured forth by the name of Christ, maybe meant his person. And let us consider this, beloved. If you want to turn there, you can. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20 to 21, and John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Let us consider this, that the name of Christ is the name that the Gentiles shall trust, is the name that his people shall trust. Matthew 12, verses 20 and 21 says this, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment and the victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Who's the name you trust? You who believe, who's the name you trust? Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him his full title. The Lord. Ralph Barter, you say, don't just say Jesus, say the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his full title. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. And he's Jesus. He's my Savior. And he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. That's my Savior. Oh, and that's the name I trust in. Is it so with you? Oh, and he's the one we say, sinner, flee to. Flee to. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. The Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And over in John 4, verses 25 and 26, his name identifies who he is. He's the Messiah. He's Christ, which means anointed. John 4, 25 and 26 says this, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. Look at, turn if you would there, to John chapter 4. Now here's the lady at the well, right? And she's gonna make a statement here. And we just see Christ identify to her who he is. It's incredible. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ." Verse 25. "When he is come, he will tell us all things." This next verse, I could sit here for years. "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." He has just revealed who he is. He's the Messiah, beloved. God incarnate in the flesh. The ones that the prophets spoke of. The ones who was promised in the Old Testament. All the types and shadows. "I that speaketh unto thee am he." The words of our Master. The words of the name in who the Gentiles trust. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greek word for Messiah is defined this. Messiah or Christ. The Greek for Christ is anointed. That is Messiah. And our Lord declares in John 4:26, right there, "I that speak unto thee am he." Am he. And his name has always been and always will be very precious to his people. It's like a box of precious ointment that's been opened. It really is for God's people. We just relish in the name of Christ. We can't get enough of it. We can't get enough of the gospel being preached. We can't get enough of him. More about Jesus would I know. More. More. And another name by which Christ is called, which may be an ointment poured forth, is found in Matthew 1:21, a verse we're all familiar with. But look at this marvelous verse. The name of Jesus, which means what? It means Jehovah is salvation. And is that not an ointment? Like an ointment poured forth for you as a believer? Jehovah is salvation. God is my salvation. He's my salvation. Jehovah. My beloved. Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Jehovah is salvation in the Greek. "For he shall," there's another one of those little hens words. "He shall," what? "Shall save his people from their sins." Praise God, it says that. He shall. And he did. He did on Calvary's cross. What a name. Jesus. What a Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord. God incarnate in the flesh. And he saves his people by dying to redeem them. And then he sends the Holy Spirit of God who regenerates them. They're born again. And he alone is the one who keeps us from falling. It's all by his power. All by his power. He defends us. He guides us. He comforts us through this life. He strengthens us amidst trials that come our way. And he has promised his people, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave you comfortless." And has he ever? Has he? He never has for us, has he? No. Then he takes us home safely to glory. All by his magnificent power. All by his doing. So that when we get the glory, we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is he." Oh my. What a great God we have. Turn, if you would, to John 16, verses 7 and 8. John 16. Here, never leave us comfortless, beloved. Never. Never. John 16, verse 7 and 8. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Here, never leave us comfortless. Never. That gives me great joy. And then he promises in himself in Hebrews 13, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And again, in the Greek, it's never, not ever, never. It's in the triple. My, that is a nail in the sure place, isn't it? That's a rock that I can hold on to amidst floods. You'll never be moved. And God is my Savior. Jehovah is my salvation. My salvation. This is what the believer cries. So his name is like an ointment poured forth for us. Poured forth. And Christ will raise us up at the last day, right? And present us faultless before the Father's throne. My goodness. Look at our text again. It says, "Thy name is as an ointment poured forth." Another thing which makes this name like ointment poured forth is that he is God with us. Emmanuel. That's one of his names. God with us. John Gill comments this: God in our nature. God manifest in the flesh. Fully God and fully man. And he goes to the cross and redeems his people by the shedding of his own precious blood. And he does it willingly. Willingly. For we who are sinners. Emmanuel. Gill again comments this: Jesus, who is God in our nature, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and is the only one, the one and only mediator between God and man, between God and his people. So those priests that are saying they're mediators between God and man, Scripture says they're liars. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And he gave himself a ransom for all his people. All his people. My. And what a precious name Emmanuel is to God's people. I ask you, is that name precious to you? God with us. God himself has redeemed us. Christ is our Redeemer. And through him we receive all spiritual blessings, whereby all the blessings. And this makes he's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. So this makes his name again like an ointment. Poured forth for the believer. Poured forth. Because think of this. Jesus Christ is my God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. If God be for me, who can be against me? My. Does the law have a claim on me? No. Christ paid it all. Does the wrath and justice of God have a claim on me? It did at one time, but it's been satisfied, right? It's all been satisfied. By Christ. By Christ. He's wonderful. No wonder his name is so precious to us. No wonder it's like an ointment poured forth for the believer. And then think of his name, the Lord our righteousness. Is that not a name for us that is like an ointment poured forth? He's our righteousness. My. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And his name, the Lord our righteousness, is an ointment poured forth for the believer. Because he is the author of our righteousness. And God is the one who bestows that righteousness upon us. As we know, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My. So Christ's name is an ointment poured forth to poor, bankrupt sinners who have been shown that our own righteousness is like filthy rags. In our natural state, that we're as an unclean thing before God. And how precious does that make Christ to us, knowing that he is the Lord our righteousness? How precious does that make to know that you are absolutely bankrupt before God? And then the Lord saves us, and we find out by him teaching us that he is the Lord our righteousness, that everything we need to stand before God is in Christ and him alone. Oh, he's so precious. He's so precious, beloved. My. It's an ointment poured forth. His name. And is it any wonder that the believer counts all things but dung and loss in comparison to Christ? Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that we desire to be found in him and not in ourselves? No, because he's everything to us. He's everything to us. We want to be found in him and his righteousness and not our own, just as Paul said. And also, what makes the name of Christ precious to believers is that he is the one in and through which the believer is forgiven of all their sins. All their sins. How? By the shedding of his precious blood. That makes him precious to us. Christ alone has turned away God's wrath from us. Christ alone has fulfilled the law in our place. It is in Christ alone that the believer can say, I have no condemnation before God. Let that one sink in. You'd be joyful. Now that doesn't mean we can go out and go crazy. No, not at all. No, the love of Christ constrains us, doesn't it? It constrains us. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And think of this. It is in Christ alone that the believer is complete. Complete before God. And it is in Christ alone that we will be one day presented, and we already are this in Christ, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In Christ. In Christ alone. That's an ointment poured forth for this poor sinner. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And here we see all these names of Isaiah 9, 6. They're an ointment poured forth. They are full of exceeding precious and wonderful truths to the believer. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Christ is wonderful. He's wonderful in his incarnation. He's wonderful in his grace. He's wonderful in his person alone. He's wonderful in all his offices of prophet, priest, and king. He's wonderful in all his work to the believer. And his name is wonderful. It's like ointment poured forth. It is. It's wonderful because he's wonderful. And look, it says he's the mighty God. He's the mighty God. I ask you this, who can measure his greatness? Who can measure his greatness? Who can measure his majesty? Who? None. None. And we stand in awe. That the one who is called the Mighty God is our Savior and is our Redeemer. And oh, it's like an ointment poured forth, isn't it? warms and comforts our souls. And then it says, Everlasting Father. And how precious is this name to the Christ, this name of Christ to God's redeemed people. He loves His children. He loves His elect. And He's loved us with an everlasting love. And Christ has made everlasting provisions for us. For us. And He has an everlasting care for His people. And I ask you, when you ponder that, is it not like an ointment poured forth? Knowing that all I need to stand before God, I have in Christ. I'm complete in Him. And He loves His people. And then it says, Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, singular. The Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. What a name for our beloved. What a name for our heavenly bridegroom. Because it's on His account that we have obtained peace. And how have we obtained peace with God? Through the shedding of His own precious blood. He's the Prince of Peace, beloved. What a name for the believer. He's obtained peace with God for rebellious sinners at Calvary's cross. And this captivates the heart of the believer. It captivates our heart to think that God Himself, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, He who is wonderful, Counselor, He who is the Prince of Peace, went to Calvary willingly for us. For us. Let's look at our text again. It says, Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. John Gale brings a comment that the gospel being preached is like a vessel of precious ointment being bought forth by the preacher. But only God can open the vessel. Only He can open it. To one, it's shut. But when God does open the precious vessel of ointment, He opens it to His people. Does this not happen when the gospel is preached and proclaimed? It's shut up to some. It's hid to some. To some, it's a sealed book that we have before us. To some, the preaching of Christ brings no joy. They have no interest. No interest. And it will be no savor. It'll be no savor for them. Except that of death unto death. But to some, beloved, it's like a vessel of precious ointment which has been opened. Which has been poured forth, and it sends out a wonderful, sweet odor. A savor. To those whom God reveals Christ to them He is a savor of life unto life. And to God's people, we see Christ and cry out, He is altogether lovely. Lovely. There's not one attribute, there's not one word, not one act of our Lord that does not enhance His beauty to our hearts. In His humiliation, His condescension, in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His exaltation, in His majestic sovereignty, in His glorious coming, and in the strict judgment, and in everlasting glory, He is altogether lovely to His people. And they never grow tired of hearing the gospel preached. Never. Let us consider the latter part of this verse. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Robert Hawker comments about the virgins mentioned here. By the virgins, it seems probable, is meant true believers. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 14 and put your finger in 2 Corinthians 11. And Gill said the same thing as well. Revelation 14 and 2 Corinthians 11. Revelation 14 declares this: these are they which were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault. Look at this. They are without fault before the throne of God. Who's without fault before the throne of God? God's elect are without fault before the throne of God. And then turn, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Now, think of this too. The followers of the Lamb have their eyes set to the Redeemer, set to His glory. They talk of Him in their conversation. Their doctrine speaks of Him. They talk of Him in their fellowship. And they yearn to be with Christ because they are espoused to Christ. They're espoused to Christ. Look it over in 2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. A chaste virgin. The church is espoused to one husband, beloved. One husband. The Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter 2, 7, and we'll close with this. And ask yourself this. Ask yourself, you who profess this. Ask yourself, you who profess Christ. Are His people and all that belongs to Him precious to you? Are His people and all that belongs to Him precious to you? Number two, are His ordinances precious to you? Are His ordinances precious to you? And the last, most important, is Jesus precious to you? Is Jesus precious to you? Because every poor follower of Jesus may ascertain his real love and faith in the Lamb by this rule. And Peter proclaims it to us. Unto them which believe, he's precious. Look at 1 Peter 2, 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is what? Precious. Precious. Not Christ precious to you, beloved? Precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. I am a believer if Christ is precious to me. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. O Lord, the ointments of Thy grace, the wonders of Thy name. O Lord Jesus, in Your name alone we see that You are our Savior. Jehovah is salvation. May we leave here with grateful hearts, we who are redeemed, for what You've done for us. Not only what You've done for us, but what You've done for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. How You left the glories of heaven, the splendors of heaven, to redeem us. Sinners, rebellious sinners. But Your love has been set upon us. And it's no wonder that the bridegroom cries out in love to Thee. Because You first loved us is the only reason we love Thee. We pray You be glorified tonight. We pray we leave here rejoicing. And we pray that this message would be used for Your glory and honor and praise. In Your name we pray. Amen.